be free from what I asked about hurts. Do you have hurts that are there? And would you be willing to admit those? Do you have hurts in your life? Before I officially ask you that question, are there things that come to your mind when I ask the question? Is there something that immediately goes back to your childhood? You know, straight there, straight as an arrow. You go back to something that happened at home a long time ago. Is there something that, maybe in a relationship, husband and wife, there was some words that were given years ago, last night, that goes right there, that hurts. That hurts. And it's something that when hurts are brought up, or when maybe even that person is on the scene, that's what your mind goes to. And you struggle with it. Maybe there's an individual that again, shows up at something, and immediately your mind goes back to those hurtful actions. And maybe it was their avoidance of you. Maybe they did something that offended you, that was hard. Maybe betrayed you. Maybe left you, that went to somebody else. Hurts are all over the place. The fact of the matter, as I go on, I understand that as a pastor, I'm relatively, and that word relative was stressed, I'm relatively young in the ministry, but as I a week, that gets older and older. And so here I am, going on 44 soon. But I'll tell you, as I have gone on, I'm understanding, recognizing something that hurts are very real. A lot of people that go on from day to day that are dealing with hurts, and they don't know how to handle it. And it just continues to go on, and they never get it resolved, and forgiveness never truly happens. They try to fix it in your mind, try to fix it in your heart. You may even say, God, forgive me, help me. But to forgive them, that individual, even in your spirit. What do I mean when I say in your spirit? Understand that all forgiveness cannot be given verbally, because if a person does not ask you forgiveness, it's kind of hard to go up to somebody, you know, that's offended you and be like, well, I forgive you. Which it may be in some cases you could, but in a lot of cases you can't, because person, look what you've done wrong, you know, and so I forgive you of all that hurt. And I don't know if that would be the scriptural spirit that is given, but in your spirit, you have forgiven them, whether or not they've ever come to you or ever will come to you and ask that forgiveness, that you would be able to forgive them for what they have done. So my question to you tonight is this. When the topic is brought up, or you're in life, do you have hurts that are there that have not been resolved? Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different. In just a moment, in fact, here in just a brief moment, I'm not going to wait till the end. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you just an uplift of hand. You know, to say how many of you would say, Pastor, I'll admit, I won't know who, I won't know what, but you say, I've got hurts in my life that I don't know how to deal with, or I've tried to deal with them, and I've not gotten those resolved, and you'd be willing. Now understand, when I ask that, I know that some of you would say, I'm not raising my hand even though I have them. I don't want anybody to know about this. Well, that's your opportunity. That's your deal. And I will tell you this, that no matter how many, unless it's 100% everybody raises their hand, unless it's that, I will assume probably that there were some that did not raise their hand. Okay? For whatever reason, you might not want me to know or whatever. That is up to you. Again, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. There's nothing extra spiritual by go ahead and raising. But for my own information, and it's not looking for me to say, okay, I know that person is dealing with it. Honestly, folks, I'm dealing with hurts. Things that have happened in the past that I struggle giving to the Lord. Admitting that is not admitting some problem, but it's almost just like a little symbol. It's like, I would... I'm looking to get some resolve in some of this area, but there are some things in my life. And so I'll tell you more about why I'm asking as we move on. But I'm going to ask you right now to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask nobody to look around. I'm asking you not to look around. Again, I can't police that. I can't control that. But I'm just out of honor and respect for other people. I'm asking you not to peek through your fingers or not to do anything. I'm asking you to just close your eyes, not look around. And I'm asking, who would be willing to admit tonight that you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm one of those ones you're talking about that I have hurts, that I have struggles dealing through and working with, and that is me. Anybody like that, right now is the time. You've got hurts in your life that you struggle with, that you go through. All right, you can put your hands down. Father, my prayer right now, there were many people in this room, a major majority, of course. It was a majority of people that raised their hands. Lord, I already knew that. And I know that behind those other hands that were not raised, there are probably many others that deal with hurts, that have things that hurt them in the past. And maybe it's on their hearts and minds. Maybe it's not so much that it has to be dug up. Not that we want to, but Lord, for everybody in this room, whether they acknowledged it or not, or whether they're going through it or not, Lord, I pray that tonight you would help us to begin to be on the path to get victory over some of these hurts. God, would you help and would you enable me as I begin to just introduce the topic tonight? Lord, I pray that you would help us. Please help us and deliver us as we sang that first song, He is able to deliver. God help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And again, it's no secret you didn't raise your hand, but I would say 75% of the crowd raised their hands. Okay? And there were some that didn't. Again, and I tell you, I know that there's some that didn't. And I wasn't included, but I already told you. I deal with things, you know, that I have to struggle with. And I'm like, I need to get this right. But let me say this. And I mean this from all of my learning and understanding everything, that people that are dealing with hurts, it's going to be hard to minister effectively the way we ought to when we're dealing with hurt, because there's pains there that which we have a hard time then. We're not free. And as we're going to see tonight, we need to be free to serve. And a church, by the way, a church that is filled with hurts is going to have a hard time moving forward also in ministry and outreach. It's going to be hard because we're dealing with hurts. Now, let me share something with you that I hope will be good news to you. You know, I don't know. I didn't ask the question this way. I didn't say how many of you that are raising your hands want to be delivered from those. I'm assuming that if you raised your hand that you would probably want to be delivered from. So I would love to be free. Again, as I entitled the message tonight, Oh, to be free. You know, maybe you would love to see freedom. I would love to take that hurt that has been there for so long off of my shoulders, and I could be free from that. Well, I've got good news from you. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ did come to deliver. And He intends for you to be free from the burden of hurt in your life, that you can let it go and genuinely forgiveness. You know, for some tonight, you would say, Pastor, I've been dealing with this with so long, I don't even think it's possible to not deal with that, to not have hurt in my life. I want to tell you something, that we either got to believe God for who He is or not. And He is the deliverer. And He came to deliver you. Sir, ma'am, who raised your hand tonight, I want to tell you, God came to deliver you from that hurt. You don't have to have it for much longer. You can be free. You can be delivered. Tonight will just be a very feeble attempt, and it will fall short of your needs to get victory. In fact, I'm not claiming that tonight through this message there's going to be a bunch of people that are freed from your hurt. In fact, that's not even the point tonight, is to get all that freedom, but it is to start. I will say that American churches and probably churches in the world are hurting people. I know it because it's a fact. We typically in the springtime, have some special meetings. We have revival meetings some years. Sometimes we have evangelistic meetings. Sometimes we had something different. A few years ago, we had some financial meetings, some stewardship meetings, and we have had family meetings. Dr. Griffith came over a year or two ago, and he did some meetings. And there's all kinds of different meetings that we could have, and we can have week-long meetings, half-a-week meetings, Sunday meetings, to help with some things. This year, this coming year, 2021, it's 99% figured, but I'm waiting for that last 1% so that there's a confirmation. We're going to be having some special meetings this next spring. I'll give you the final dates as soon as it's confirmed. But in the spring, we're going to have somebody that's going to come that is developed in the last couple of years into being an expert in the topic of dealing with hurts. He's going to get down to the grassroots of why we're going through what we're going through and hopes and helps to get victory over those so that you can be 100% free. What does that sound like? I hope for some of you that are going through it, it's good. I hope it's good news. Dr. Jim Van Gelderen, in the last couple years, has been dealing with hurts. Probably some of you remember, not this past summer, but the summer before, he came, and just for one Sunday, he came, and he preached a message or two on some of those things. Back then, it was just things that were, he was just starting to mull things over in his mind. And it's been about a year and a half journey that he's been going through, that he's been able to put a lot of materials and things together that now is being able to be very useful in helping people to overcome deep-rooted hurts of things that God has done, people have done, haven't done, things said, things that you struggle with, so that you can get victory over those hurts. He's going to come, and these meetings are probably going to go from a Sunday, all day Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, only because of scheduling conflicts with the dates that we're looking at, not Friday, but we feel that that's going to be adequate and is going to hit hard. There's going to be preaching, but there's also going to be teaching, there's going to be worksheet, there are going to be things where the point is to get to the root so that we as a body, as individuals, can be delivered from the hurts that are in our lives. And then to be free. Free to serve God the way He intended. Now, you might be sitting there saying, there's no way that it can happen. Do you believe God? You ought to. Well, tonight is just my feeble attempt to just introduce some things to you to see about freedom that there is amidst difficult circumstances. Obviously, if you're hurt, it's because things got difficult with a relationship. Things got difficult with a group of people. Things got difficult in your life, and you felt that that person or that whatever let you down in a certain way. Oh, to be free. That was the thought of many slaves back during the time when there was much slavery, and understand there's been slavery throughout and still is. But a slave would desire, oh, to be free. You know, there's a lot of more thoughts on being free. A worker's thoughts through the middle of the week, oh, I can't wait until Friday so that I can be free for the weekend. A student, in the middle of his education, he's thinking, oh, how long do I have to do this school? I can't wait to be free and to be released so that I can do what I want to do in life. A worker getting closer to that retirement age, thinking, oh, to be free. You know, freedom can be a good thing. In one sense, it can be a bad thing. Freedom can, too much freedom can, but in the biblical sense, freedom is a good thing. Let's start off by looking at a few verses just on freedom, just in our spiritual lives. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. Purely and simply the freedom that we get through salvation. If you're here tonight and you have trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you have experienced an element of freedom because you're free from the law of sin and death. Notice Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Freed from sin. What does that mean? I no longer have to sin. Do you realize as a Christian here today, you don't have to sin. But a person that has never trusted Jesus Christ, honestly, they are under bondage of that sin. Sin is that thing that whips you into place. You've got to do this. And you feel like you've got to do that. Now, some of you Christians say, you know, sometimes, Pastor, I feel that way. You don't have to. But sometimes we allow that to happen. You ever felt that? I have. You feel like, I just can't. Somebody said something to you and it got under your skin. And you think, if I don't say something and I don't lash something back, they're going to go off scot-free and they're not going to ever understand what they did to me. You ever felt that way? I have. And so you feel like, I have to do it. You know it's wrong. You know it's wicked. You know it's mean. You know the statement is going to hurt. But you feel like you've got to do it anyway. Now, does the Christian have to do that? What's the answer? No. You have been freed from this sin. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 18 tells us, you have been made free from sin. Folks, you don't have to sin. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to be bothered. You don't have to be agitated. You don't have to lie. You don't have to punish that person for what they did to you. You don't have to. You are free from that. Galatians chapter 5. Go to there. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians was written to the church that had trusted Christ and they were going back to religious institution for their salvation, or at least their security and their, in their minds, almost like, I've got to do this to maintain my salvation. They were going back to the law that they had been freed from. And Paul writes to this group of people in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage." And here is talking about good works. Having to do a bunch of good things in order to have and acquire and even maintain salvation. Brothers and sisters in here that are saved, we don't have to maintain our salvation through a bunch of good works. We don't get it that way, and we don't have to maintain it that way. And there are a lot of people in our area that feel that they have to get it that way, and there are many people just behind them that feel like they have to maintain it through good works. And I want to tell you something, those people, as I hate to say this, but those people are under bondage. That's not freedom. Can you imagine having to work and do things so that you can maintain your eternal security? Praise the Lord, folks. Listen to this. You are free from that bondage. You don't have to maintain your salvation. When Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and you took that gift, He made you free, absolutely free. Nothing more that you have to do. That is a blessing. You are free from sin. You're free from death. You're free from this work. I want to look at an important verse this evening. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll tell you, this is probably a verse that almost every one of you know. Even our children probably know this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, and the last verse, verse 32. What does it say? This verse is written to Christians. Just like you, just like me. There's some instruction given. There is command, and then there is some how-to. There is what we're supposed to do, and then there's the participles on how to do this. Okay? And so let's look at this verse. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, this verse in context is given to somebody that's going through a lot of things. How do you know? Look up at a couple verses. We see This person is going through a lot of difficulties, temptations to, you know, I mentioned the verse this morning, verse 26, be angry, okay? That, again, that word is be angered upon. Honestly, that word is not telling you not to be angry. It's when somebody does something to you, don't allow it to cause you to sin. Is that going to happen in life, that you or people are going to do things to you that would bring you to potential anger? Absolutely. People do things to you. That verse is saying, okay, people are going to do rough things to you, but don't sin in it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. In other words, when we give into these things, the devil gets a foothold in our lives. Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, there's reasons why people do what they do. Look at all the crime that's out there today. It's rampant. Why is that happening? Because people are hurt. I'll tell you that's why. It's because people are hurt and they feel like they've got to get something. They've got to vindicate themselves. They've got to fill voids in their lives that they feel like they have been mistreated. They have been left out. And they've got to steal. They've got to get angry. They've got to... And the list goes on. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, why would a person even have corrupt communication? Because something's happened in their life that they want to vent and they want to let it out. And here Paul is saying, none of this. Verse 31, let all bitterness. Well, bitterness is the response to somebody else's hurt. You see this in context. So I want to tell you, these people had gone through some difficult situations. Okay, so you're sitting here tonight and you say, Pastor, you don't even know what I've gone through. You don't know the rejection from my parents. You don't know the rejection from my husband. You don't know the rejection from my wife. You don't know the rejection from my children. You don't know what my teacher told me back in first grade. You don't understand, and I don't, and I won't pretend to know. I don't know what you went through. But God does, and he's going to give you an answer in this verse, in verse 32. He says, and be ye kind one to another. Now, some of you look at it and say, oh, so the answer to this is I'm just supposed to be kind to these people that hurt me. That's not the help that I'm giving you tonight. Now, that's the directive. That, in this Greek language, there's the directive. There's the directive that commands you to do this. This is an imperative. The imperative in this verse is you be kind to other people. There's the directive. The rest of the verse is telling you, is giving you participles on how to do it. How can you be kind? Well, he goes on. Be tenderhearted, forgiving. Forgiving one another is a participle. That means it's telling you how to be kind. You need to forgive other people. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I could go into that last section of Christ forgiving you, but we're not going to do that right now. And I don't know that we're going to get to it tonight, okay? But I want to look at this, forgiving one another. So to be kind is the imperative, forgiving is the participle. The word forgiveness is a very freeing word. Think about what forgiveness means. To forgive. The word means to pardon and let free. Well, you know what a pardon is, right? Somebody that deserves something. Can we all agree to that? When you pardon somebody, it's because they deserve something. I don't pardon anything from somebody that doesn't deserve anything. There's no pardon there because they didn't deserve something. It's somebody that deserves something. Okay, so there was a wrong. There was a hurt. And then there was a pardon. The word forgiveness is to pardon, to give restoration freely. I am going to set you free. You are guilty, but you're going to be set free. And in this case, it's in my heart. I'm going to set you free from what you've done. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to let you out of the prison. I'm going to let you out of jail. I'm going to let you out of the things that are binding me together. And I am going to free you. No more is there anything, but you did this. No, that's not freedom. I'm letting you go. That's the word forgiveness. And where do we see this? I say magnificently, victoriously, incredibly. I couldn't begin to tell you how much wonderful things come from Genesis in the life of Joseph. Joseph is such an amazing example of somebody that was hurt, 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 hurt. There were things said against him. There were things done to him. There was betrayal. There was so much that happened to Joseph. And Joseph, amazingly, had a wonderful testimony because of his trust in who God was. Amazing thoughts that I want us to look at tonight. Go to Genesis 45. We're going to spend our time here for a few minutes. And I'm going to give you a statement. When we have a forgiving spirit, and I'm going to complete it with a couple thoughts this evening. When we have a forgiving spirit. All right, go to chapter 45 of Genesis. Now, if you know the story at all, what happens in chapter 45 of Genesis? The main thing. Can anybody tell me what happens in Genesis chapter 45 in the story of Joseph and his family? What's that? Okay, well, we can look at the process of forgiving. I would submit to you that Joseph had forgiven back already, but there's something, and we're right on here, but there, along with this forgiveness, there's something that happened in Genesis 45 that changes the story. The identification. The brothers thought Joseph was dead. Now in chapter 45, they find out he's not dead. There he is. Remember the story? No way. Joseph is alive? Imagine the fear that came through their bones when they realized that their brother was alive. All right, Genesis 45, and I want you to look at verse 3. Okay, the very first verse says, then Joseph could refrain himself no longer. You remember the story about how they came and they had no clue and he was in second in command and he was in charge of all this and he did this and he sent him back and he brought him back and all this stuff. And he kind of torments them a little bit. And I don't think that he's not getting back at them. Honestly, Joseph is, he's hurting for these people, for his brothers. He loves those brothers. Then Joseph could refrain himself before all them, could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him and cried, cause every man to go out from thee. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. So there's the main point that I wanted you to see. He made himself known. There's the declaration. And wept, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Was this a little cry? Question, why do you think Joseph wept? Do you think it was because of all of his hurt? Now that was a trick question. When you look at these passages and see what Joseph and how he responded, I don't think it was because of his hurt. I believe, and Melissa and I have talked a lot about this because a lot of this goes along with what she shared at the ladies' retreat. I don't believe that Joseph cried because of all of his deep hurt inside. I believe Joseph had a spirit of forgiveness. I believe Joseph hurt because of what his brothers were going through. Now let me tell you something. Everybody look this way. That is key. That is so key. When we can recognize that what people have done to us and stop taking it personally and look at their situation through their eyes and through God's eyes, not to justify what they've done, but to feel sorry for them. I feel bad for that boss that is so under bondage that he has to treat me that way. Folks, the reason why people hurt people is because they're hurt themselves and they don't know how to handle it. And so the only way what they know what to do is they hurt other people. It's time to start looking at this from another perspective than your own. I don't believe Joseph weeps because he is just like, oh, they don't know what they've put me through. If that was the case with Joseph, he would not have responded this way. He felt bad for those brothers, what they had done. Can you imagine if we would take that person that has hurt us? And many of you have already attested that there's been something or someone that is hurt, and say, you know what? I feel bad for them. But we've got to retrain this brain to think that way. I'll tell you, that's hard. That is hard to do. And so we're going to have to go through a process to get to that point. And it's not all going to happen tonight. But I don't believe Joseph is weeping and wailing right now because he's been hurt so bad. I think he feels bad for those brothers. That is a tremendous thing to start off this with. Tremendous. Oh, if you could get that. But notice verse 3. Joseph said unto his brethren the three words that changed their lives. I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. I don't even know if they heard the question that he asked. Think about it. They're standing there. I'm Joseph. No, they didn't hear the next question. Joseph. Oh no. His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. See, Joseph's brothers were troubled at his presence. Folks, I want to tell you something. When we are under the bondage of unforgiveness, we get troubled in the presence of those people. It's trouble. We struggle. That individual presents to me conflict. And that's what we see here with these brothers. All they heard was, I am Joseph. Troubled. They were in trouble. They didn't know how to think. They couldn't listen. They couldn't hear. They were in bondage. Folks, I want to tell you something. There was no freedom there with those brothers. They thought that they had gotten rid of their problems. We are going to sell Joseph so that we can be free. When they sold Joseph, they bought for themselves bondage because they took matters into their own hands. They bought bondage. And these brothers, whether they appeared happy for all these years or not, they were under the yoke of bondage because from that time that they went against their brother. They were in bondage. They were the ones that were enslaved to this yoke upon them. And now this yoke comes upon their shoulders like a ton of bricks that they could never, ever imagine would have ever, ever been able to happen. I am Joseph. Bang, there's all the weight on their shoulders. No way. Was there freedom there? I'll tell you, there was no freedom there. And I can tell you this, when we are in a state of unforgiveness to those people that have hurt us, there's no way to be free. There is a weight of bondage that's there that will not go until we let that off, until we let it go. And the presence of people that have hurt us is difficult. In some cases, it's God. God has done something to you that you don't feel was right. And in God's presence, you struggle. And that's why some people don't like to come to church, because they can't deal with the presence. They can't deal with the presence of those people. Are there people in your lives that you don't like to be in their presence because they have hurt you? Time out. What we're suggesting here, what the Bible's talking about, what I'm giving to you tonight, does not justify what that other person has done. Do you understand that? This is not saying that person didn't do anything wrong. You know what? If that individual said something that was wrong, that's their deal, and they will answer to God. If they've not confessed that sin, then that's a bondage on their shoulders as well. But tonight, we're not looking so much at that other person and they're wrong, but learning how to deal with it in ourselves. In fact, what we ought to do is we ought to feel, as I suggested already, sorry for what they are. Feel bad for that person. They go through what they're going through. That their struggle and their hurt has made them into this individual that hurts people in turn. This is tough stuff, but it's truth. Bondage with these brothers had always been there since the early day. But let me ask you the question, what about you? What about you with that other person? Oh, Pastor, I hear it just like if it was said just a few minutes ago, that statement that they made to me 40 years ago. Hurt hurts. The thought of that individual, or those words, oh, they penetrate. And has something ever been brought up and inside you felt that dagger just crank on you? I know what it's like. I've been there. It's powerful stuff. That's not freedom, folks. I want to tell you something. Now, you say, of course. You're not telling anything new. I just want you to understand, you are living in bondage. That's really the main point tonight, is to see the bondage and the freedom, that there is an opposite side. You're living in bondage. Those brothers had no freedom. You know, we hear the things that they say or that they have said. We watch the things that they have done. And in some cases, we watch the things they do today. And everything they do bothers us because we're still living in the day in which they hurt us. Any of these things ringing a bell? You know, you listen to what they say, and boy, everything they do, they can't do anything right because you're bitter at that person. It bugs you, it bothers you, and you live. I want to tell you something, you're a person in bondage. There's no freedom there. Oh, to be free. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you can be free. You know, we fear the things that they will find. I want to tell you, I don't think these brothers ever thought that that would happen, but all of a sudden it happened. They found out, and all of a sudden everything is on their shoulders. Do you live in fear that somebody's going to find out? Can I say this? They were troubled at his presence. Look at Joseph, though, in verses 4 and 5. What were Joseph's words after he said, "I am Joseph"? The brothers were troubled at his presence. Can I tell you that the person is free has another set of words? What did Joseph say? Come near me. You see that in verse 4? Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. There is a sign of freedom. You are absolutely okay to be in that person's presence. Whether it's God, that husband, that wife, that child, that co-worker, that whoever, ever it was. But I'll tell you what's a sign the other way. If you struggle in their presence, it's because you're under bondage. A person that is free. I want to tell you, Joseph had far worse happen to him than those brothers, and this man was already free. He was already free. I believe, although we never, ever, in all of Genesis chapters 1 to 50, we never, ever hear Joseph say, I forgive you. It is obvious that Joseph had already forgiven those brothers. Come near. Come close to me. I want to tell you something. A person that I struggle with in the hurt, I have a hard time saying, come close, be around me, talk, do what you do. No, I'm like, you make me sick. I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to hear what you say. Boy, come on, look at that attitude. You know, we tend to push those kind of people away. But there's a sign where, there's a sign there that we have not forgiven. But I'll say this, true freedom gets us to the point where we want their presence. We want their memories. We want them to be around us. We love them, just like Christ loves us. Now, in all of this, you think about Christ's response to us when we continually hurt him. And he loves to be with us always. Always. You know that when we sin, God doesn't say, go over there in the corner. Put your nose in the corner. God wants to be with us. Go to chapter 50. We have two passages, 45 and 50, that help us with this. This is the passage in which Joseph reveals himself, and then he gives his blessing to the brothers, and then he sends them on their way. Chapter 50 is when they finally, all the brothers and all of Jacob's family are there in Egypt with them, and there's some final things. Jacob dies, and then the brothers have round two of fear. Oh, great. You see, back in the culture back then, when dad died, you know, everybody had to honor dad. But when dad's gone, great. Because now siblings do, you know, with themselves. When dad dies, brothers get scared again. You're looking in chapter 50, and I want you to see verse 15. Okay, Joseph, they're getting ready here. And so verse, Jacob dies. He's buried, verse 14 and verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, and this is like amongst themselves, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Dad's dead now. That was just a front. Now he's going to get us back because dad's gone. There's no more reverence to dad. Now he's going to do something. The second thing is Joseph's brothers were afraid of Joseph's probable anger. You see, they were afraid of the emotions of this other person. They were afraid of what he would do. Folks, I want to tell you something. As they were afraid, they were in bondage of Joseph's actions. They were in bondage. They were scared of what that person could do to them. They lived in fear. They lived in anger. They lived in jealousy. These brothers were an emotional wreck. Because of a dream, because of favoritism, because of fear, because of jealousy, because of selfishness. These guys were a mess. I think it's easy to see that. But the question is not for the brothers, the question is for you. What about you? What about you? Are you an emotional wreck? What emotions do you struggle with that other person? Could be anger, could be fear, could be resentment, jealousy. So much hurts us. That's a sign of bondage. When a person is in freedom, there's stability. Stability. You see, freedom with emotions. Notice Joseph's response. Verse 50 and verse... You're there in chapter 50. Look at verse 21. These brothers are a mess. And notice Joseph. And he's already talking, and we'll have to get to this other part later. But notice verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not. He says, don't be afraid. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Who was the one that was free? Joseph's free. You would have thought that Joseph would be the emotional wreck of all that he went through. Go on, Joseph's pretty stable. He says, listen, you don't need to be afraid. The brothers we're afraid. Joseph said, no need to be afraid. I'm going to tell you something. There's freedom when we forgive with our emotions. Question, are you an emotional wreck today? Your struggles, worries, fears, anger. Joseph says, be not grieved, neither be ye angry. Back to chapter 45, similar things. Chapter 45, verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. amazing response that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Do you catching what Joseph is saying to these brothers? It was all part of God's plan. And we'll get to that. I say we'll get to it. Time today does not, my friend. We struggled this morning. Because this is an amazing topic. I'm going to stop it here. Because I have too many points to continue on. And if I did, I know what would happen. I would rush it. I would speak 100 miles an hour just for your benefit to get out, and you wouldn't get much. At this point, I have gone slow, and I've tried to make a point. I've tried to make a point, the passage of Scripture. So I'm going to stop here, and we've seen a couple things. Number one, there's bondage when there's trouble at a person's presence. question. Are you in a state of unforgiveness? Are you in bondage? Second of all, Joseph's brothers were afraid. They lived in bondage because of their emotions. Are you there? There's no freedom. Can I tell you, when we forgive, and again, we'll have to go through, so how can I forgive? And that's another point that we have to do. You know, I told you, I feel bad sometimes when I share the truth of the situation. You say, you know, the main thing is then you have to give hope. Here's my hope. The hope is in the first song that we sing. He is able to deliver you. I'm looking at 75% of the congregation plus that admitted that there's hurt. The simple start to things tonight is, I want to tell you that He is able to deliver you. And if Joseph can have victory in freedom, you can have freedom also. The first thing that we're doing is looking, this is what bondage looks like. This is what freedom looks like. It should whet our appetites for that. And so I understand that this presentation, this message tonight is not complete. But take it as this is what God wanted you to hear tonight. And maybe it would just be enough to say, God, You whet my appetite enough, so would You give me something so that I can get this freedom, so that I can move forward in freedom and not bondage, that I don't have to continue to live here, that I can forgive that person that said that comment, that I can forgive that one that disgraced me, that I can truly forgive that person, and I can desire their presence, and I don't have to live in an emotional quandary about them. And several other things that we're going to find out. I'm going to encourage you to pray. For those of you who raised your hand at the beginning of the service, I want to ask you to pray, God, would You help me to be delivered from this spirit of bondage, from this bondage with this unforgiving spirit that I have with these people, and God, would You set me free? There's great places that we can go if we can get free. I will tell you what, I think that we can't move forward in our church, if what you said is true tonight, if there's 75% of our people that are struggling with bondage, I will tell you just flat out, we can't go anywhere until we get victory with this bondage. We can't do it. And that is my burden. And God has placed this before this week. I didn't know I was going to preach this message until sometime this week. But I will tell you, my burden has been this for a while. And we have placed it. Now we have some meetings. And again, I don't want you to say, oh, I'll have to wait until April or whatever. I don't believe you have to wait, but I will tell you this, it's going to be more complete when we get there. And I think that there's good hope to be delivered from this. And so I hope that it'll be encouraging to you. Father, God, thank You for being God that will deliver us. Lord, help us all, myself included, help us as we deal with hurt and people that have hurt us. And Lord, may we be freed from it. God, help. And I don't know how far You're going to have me go with these people and sharing with them. Lord, I don't know. Maybe You'll have me go for a while. I don't know. Lord, You do what You want to do. Maybe it's just setting the stage for next spring. I don't know. But Lord, I'm going to try to follow You. You show me what You want me to do. And Lord, I pray that You would help us. Please help us. Lord, there's admitted people tonight, and there's maybe some that didn't decide to raise their hand, but they are still hurting, Lord. And so there's, again, I don't know if it's exactly 75, 65, 85, I don't know. Maybe 100. I don't know that either. Only You do. But Lord, whatever the number is, I pray that we as individuals and we as a body could get deliverance and freedom from this horrible bondage that is around us with past hurt. God, would You help us? Would You help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if God is...